Yeah, thank you all for attending my talk today. So you can see we're going to talk a little bit about some applied fungicide and insecticide on soybeans in Iowa. So I work for the Iowa Soybean Association, and we have we're set up a little bit differently, where we have kind of an applied research group or department within the Soybean Association, and so that's who I work for. So we set up, we work across the state working with farmers that want to work with us, just to kind of learn a little bit more about their farms, and hopefully we can put together and pull together some data that's kind of relevant to this crowd as well. So a little bit about background of how we got into doing the studies for insecticide and fungicides. We had a lot of farmers that were fungicides were just coming on the market kind of around the 2006 area. A lot of farmers had questions about how to work that with an insecticide. And we all know, especially in the northern Iowa, southern Minnesota area, there's getting to be more of an issue with aphid resistance to insecticides. So we wanted to just pull together some data, work with the farmers, and see what we could come up with. So there's been many papers published, and I'm sure there's several talks here today, and really any crop management talk you ever go or conference you go to, they're going to talk about aphid resistance at some point. There's a little bit of talk about some fungicide application costs, and then soybean aphid resistance and is a big issue. So what we've done, starting in 2006, we set up two different types of trials. Initially, when we first started working on this trial or on this topic, was in 2006, and we set up two treatment trials. So working with farmers and kind of volunteer with the public, we have to try to set up these trials as easily and as effective as possible for that farmer to actually go out and be able to implement, so we can't make them too complicated. So we set up two treatment trials where the farmer would apply a fungicide mixed with an insecticide, and then they would compare that to an untreated strip. And then after some time, we kind of started seeing that there's some traction here, something's going on. So then we actually set up a little bit more of an intensive trial where we would compare the fungicide and insecticide mix to a fungicide by itself, and then also the untreated control. So what we did, so the data I'll be presenting about, we had 24 two-treatment trials that we ran for 10 years from 06 to 2016, which was the mixture of the fungicide and insecticide. And it's not all the same fungicide or insecticide. There's some mixture between pyrethroids and neonics and organophosphate, and then there's also FRAC 3 and 11 fungicides kind of pooled in this data. But when we tried to pull that apart, we really couldn't see much of a difference once we started analyzing the data. We couldn't really pull specific products out. And then we also ran a full-scale project from 2013 to 2016 where we did the three-treatment trial. And these are two separate, different, totally separate trials. They only had a few years to overlap. And you can see in the map behind kind of where those locations were. So my main... my main job with the on-farm network at the Iowa Soybean Association is I go out and I recruit these farmers and I help them set up the trials. So here's a pretty typical example of how we'd set up a trial. So I'll go out, meet with the farmer, get an idea of what his capabilities are with the sprayer, being able to harvest, and kind of his ideas of what he wants to do. So this would be a pretty typical setup. This is a setup from one of the three treatment trials that we had, where you can see the blue, I'm not sure whether it was the fungicide or the mixture, and then right next to it would be a strip of the other treatment, and then you'd also have the untreated check in there. So then after I'd get that back from the farmer, we'd go out and do some scouting, see if we could see any differences between the untreated checks and the treatments. And then so after that, what we'd get back is we'd get the farmer's yield data back. And how they the way they harvested the data, and then we go through. You can see obviously there's some waterways going through the field, so we'll clean up some of that. Along the edges, we'd clean up just some variable yield points, just so that we're comparing apples to apples and not some wild yield points that are going through the field or some anomalies. And then, yeah, utilizing the farmer's monitors and data. It also gives the farmer an opportunity to kind of use the precision tools that they have at a very surface level. So, you know, they're collecting all this harvest data and all this yield data, but they're like, well, what do we do with it? So our program kind of gives them some opportunity to kind of learn and utilize that yield data in that in their application maps to learn. So digging into the actual data from the trials that we had. So this is the data pool or the data set from the two treatment trials that we set up from 2006 to 2016. And you can see the pooled mean of that is right around that 200 kilogram per hectare, which is really right on the verge, from what I could tell, of paying for the product. But remember, this is the mixed fungicide and insecticide, so we can see there's a yield bump there. So there's something to be had there that a farmer can utilize to better his operation. So the next thought was we broke that out to where we had the fungicide application versus the insecticide and fungicide mixture, and you're untreated. And so you can see this next bit of data breaks that out. So the squares are your fungicide by itself, and then the circles are your mixture. And the pooled mean is the graph to the bottom right. And you can see there was a little bit of a yield increase from the insecticide. But you can also see that the noise in your confidence interval gets a little wider with the inclusion of the insecticide. And I guess our thought was to that was it was an added variable to the project or to the treatment. So some of those fields might not have had the same aphid pressure. Some of those fields might not have had the same beanleaf beetle or Japanese beetle pressure. So that increased the noise that we saw within that trial. And then, so another interesting tidbit that I'll get to a little bit into the conclusion was the actual results between these two trials. Can I go back a slide? Yeah. As you can see, are really pretty close together with the fungicide and insecticide mixture. Having these two trials be pretty independent from each other, there's a few years of overlap between the two sets of data, but for the most part, they're independent of each other, and they ended up being very close with the average mean of right just a little bit over 200 kilogram per hectare, and then also the confidence, the 90% confidence interval, was also very close to the stretch. So in conclusion, with the trials that we developed here, the relatively low cost of the insecticide, so there's a lot of farmers that just mix it in with their fungicide and go spray it as a insurance application or what have you. And in some cases, that could be a profitable decision. But what we've come to find, especially with these trials and then working with farmers, was that sometimes that would be the correct decision, but scouting was a very important key to that decision. If they didn't have the insect pressure, obviously your insecticide is not going to gain you anything. And what we found was the majority of our fields didn't quite have that insect pressure to pay for the insecticide application in the first place. So really all that's doing is spurring resistance by doing the recreational application. You can see in the five trials we did detect a yield response from the insecticide. So as I mentioned earlier, this provide some compelling evidence that the insurance application of the fungus of the insecticide did not increase the yield significantly. And then also a little tidbit that we had that I didn't really share in here was the response to the fungicide tended to be greater with fields that had an overall lesser yield. Not necessarily that it had more, not necessarily that the yield was brought down by disease pressure, but it was just a less lower yielding environment tended to have a better response to the fungicide. I'd like to thank several of the members in our audience here today for helping with these trials. If you guys have any additional questions. I kind of blazed through it kind of fast, but
got plenty of time for questions.
Yep.
One of the things, like I asked students this morning, you're showing even 200 or 200 kilograms of tank there, you're still looking at probably less than 3 bushels.
Yep.
And 3 bushel and your fungicide application is probably costing you $20.
Yep.
Plus application cost.
Yep.
So when you put the economics to it, if you don't scout, you're absolutely making the wrong decision, in my opinion. One of the things we see in the South that, you know, we may need as many as 2 applications if there's a problem. But if there's not, then you're costing farmers a lot of money. So you're, what was the term you used? Recreational?
Yeah, recreational application.
Well, and
along your same line of thought, that's why they were mixing the insecticide in the first place, just to save that extra application cost in case they needed it. Yep. Yeah, I mean, as you can see, even for the fungicide to pay for itself was still a little bit better than 50% of the time. But when it did pay for itself, it was definitely a valuable thing to have. Yep.
Is scouting for diseases do any good for soybeans in Iowa?
Yeah.
What diseases do you find that can be controlled by fungicide?
Some frog eye spot, Cercospora. I know it's, the few farmers, it's still kind of a, especially farmers that I work with, some of them really believe in a fungicide application and other ones are, you know, they're just like, yeah, that's just more money that they're asking me to spend on a crop that, you know, might not necessarily pay for it. But I've seen some good control out of it, but yeah.
It's kind of a token scouting, what you're saying. They're going to spray anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But actually getting out to scout, keep reminding farmers to scout. Because, I mean, the second you start telling them, yeah, it's just a token application or a token, you know, practice, then all of a sudden nobody's scouting and they're just looking at it from their driveway, and then that becomes an even more larger problem.
Got some more time if anybody. All right, thanks, speaker.
All right, thank you guys.